DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evaluate progress, performance.
You know, certainly it could be better, but certainly all of our performances could be better. Our quarterback got hit too much, and he was a component of that.
Like, you worry about confidence with him at all?
I don't.
Why not?
Because it's football. You don't get to the National Football League by being fragile emotionally. There's a lot of confident guys that I work with. You win some battles, you lose some battles, you come back fighting. That's just the nature of the men that play this game at this level.
At some point during today's show, we'll do the Mike Tomlin lie detector test. I don't think that Mike Tomlin has yet lost confidence in Broderick Jones, but I don't think we're far away from that happening if Broderick Jones plays that way again. And the reason I say that is because a couple of times since the Steelers beat the New York Jets 34-32, Mike Tomlin has talked about the inability to protect Aaron Rodgers. Play pass, unable to protect Rodgers when they wanted to take a couple of shots downfield. We'll play another clip from Tomlin coming up in the next segment where he talks about their inability to keep Rodgers upright. And it's one game, but that was pretty much the worst case scenario on how you can protect a quarterback. The only reason it wasn't the worst case scenario is because Rodgers played well anyhow, threw four touchdowns, and you won the game. Rodgers also got rid of the ball faster than any quarterback in the league in week one, and yet still was under constant pressure. And guess what, man? I think the Seattle Seahawks got a better defense than the Jets. I think they got a better collective pass rush than the Jets. And I'm wondering, here's how we'll start this bad boy today. What do you do? I think you got to try to establish the run. You're at home. They return four guys to the Seahawks that had 40-plus pressures last year. Only one of two teams in the NFL that can boast that. They will get after the quarterback. They don't have a star in the secondary like the Jets did with Sauce Gardner, but they got four dudes who can all play the game at a pretty high level. I don't think, from top to bottom, they really have a weakness defensively, but their pass rush is really good. How do you combat that knowing that your left tackle was a turnstile in week one?
Well, it's going to be a big Darnell Washington game.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has to be. And that's a bad place to be in, I think, in my estimation. Not bad because Darnell Washington's in the game, but bad because now you're going to have to substitute somebody else and take another playmaker off the field and not use Darnell Washington as the playmaker that you would substitute for, if that makes sense. Like, Darnell Washington had a great training camp, had a great preseason as a pass catcher. Obviously, he's the best blocking tight end in the league. We all know that. But now he's going to be used as an extra glorified tackle. And that is almost a must, I think, whenever you're going against a defense like this. And the guys that can rush the passer and guys that can, you know, penetrate gaps in the run game. So Darnell Washington, you know, he can catch the ball. He can get down the seam. He's a big body. He could be a threat in the red zone. He could be a threat in the middle of the field. But you're going to see a lot of him in a lot of plays and a lot of different personnels. And maybe Pat Freiermuth has to, you know, cut down on the reps or to get taken off the field. Or Johnny Smith is not going to be on the field as much. Or Calvin Austin is not going to be on the field as much. Your playmakers, because Darnell Washington has to protect Broderick Jones. And not just protect Aaron Rodgers. It's about protecting Broderick Jones to protect Aaron Rodgers, which is not a good situation to be in.
I agree wholeheartedly. Calvin Austin caught a touchdown. Jonnu Smith scored a touchdown. Pat Freiermuth had multiple clutch, important first down receptions. And if you're going to have Broderick Jones play next to Darnell Washington a lot, one of those guys is going to be off the field all the time.
Uh-huh.
And Roman Wilson was the casualty in week one. He played 10 snaps, which we'll get into later because Mike Tomlin was asked about it. And Mike Tomlin was annoyed by the question, which always titillates me, and it's always worth examining. I think one thing that can help starting this week and can help with them at home is Rodgers' cadence is the best in the history of the NFL. And being at home, not having to work off the silent count, I think that is a massive advantage to slow down what can be an elite-level pass rush. I think we're going to see a couple of free plays this week. Last week, we saw the 12 men on the field, and that's when Jonnu Smith didn't get vertical, and then Rodgers was like, hey, da-da-da. I think we're going to see at least a couple of free plays this week. That can help slow down a pass rush. But here's the reality. We could talk about scheming. We could talk about cadence. We could talk about running the ball. We could talk about getting the ball out of Rodgers' hand quick. Broderick Jones needs to get a lot better, and he needs to get a lot better fast.
Yep.
Or else Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play 17 games. The biggest reason of optimism for all Steelers fans, myself included, I said yesterday, I think they win a playoff game if Rodgers stays upright this year and he plays the way he did on Sunday. The biggest reason for optimism is your quarterback, but the biggest reason for pessimism is the guy that protects his blind side. And those two things have to work in concert, and that's got my heebie-jeebies going right now.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if the Steelers won the game 11-6 and they played great defense and they ran the ball and they possessed the thing and they looked kind of the way they have the last few seasons. All right, you're going to grind your way to 10-7. But you saw what they can do when Rodgers is upright a decent amount, and it has you wondering what he could do if you improve that aspect of your game even a little bit. I just don't know how Broderick Jones is going to make that happen when he hasn't done it to this point.
I don't either. And like we said yesterday, I mean, Trey breaking it down, Trey Essex, guy who's played the position, doesn't know how to fix it, doesn't know if it'll get fixed. Like, that's worrisome. I mean, it's going to have to just click for Broderick. And we thought that it was starting to click a little bit during training camp and during preseason, but that's preseason. I mean, he looked a lot better during those preseason games. But obviously, rewinding the tape, going reverting all the way back to his self from last year in after this first game is not going to help him get on that straight and narrow.
You know what I think it is in the preseason is, I mean, you're just running vanilla stuff, and
but see, Crowley, with him though, it's not the schemes. You know, at least right now,
it's the technique.
It's the technique and physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's worrisome. Like, it, you know, one on one, he's getting beat physically. And he's not using the details that he should be using as a left tackle. It's not anybody just kind of confuse him. But once that does happen, like if I'm Seattle this week, I mean, I'm running all kinds of stunts. I'm running TE stunts, tackle end stunts where they're crossing and he has to slough off a guy to the guard. And then he has to wait for a guy to wrap around to try to rush him. Like, I'm trying to confuse him because I know that the physicality is not going to be there. Think about if you are, I don't even know the D coordinator. I know the head coach was a D coordinator from Baltimore, but if you're them, like,
I think it's Wink Martindale.
Martindale, if you're Wink, like, you are attacking Broderick Jones every single snap. Like, that's your key to victory. So the Steelers have to do something. I mean, I know the Darnell Washington plan, like, you're going to use that, but there has to be something else too. There has to be.
He's the guy you key on.
Yeah.
It's Aiden Durd. I don't know why I said it was Wink Martindale.
It's really McDonald, the head coach.
Yes, and they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
He's a good coach.
And it's year two. I went back and I watched Seattle against the 49ers, and they're just solid, man.
Mm-hmm.
They tackle well. They tackle well in the secondary. They cover well in the secondary. The rush defense wasn't great last year. They gave up 120 yards a game. They gave up 119 in week one. So if you were a good running team, you would think maybe we can move the ball on the ground at least a little bit. But they bring all kind of pressures. They run all kind of simulated pressures. And so you're right. The Jets, it was, oh, our guys are better. They're going to win their one-on-one matchups with Broderick Jones. Well, now it's, you're going to create a lot of one-on-one matchups, but you're also going to get his head spinning.
Yep.
The more I think about this game, and we'll break the game down more as the week goes on, I don't like it. And the Seahawks, here's one for you. 7-1 away from home last year. Which is kind of nuts, because they went 10-7, and Seattle's a really tough place to play. They did not play well at home, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a secret sauce kind of thing that they got going on the road, or if it's just maybe the quality of opponent on the road was not as tough as the quality of opponent at home. I'm not quite sure, but something to pay attention to. They were 7-1 on the road last year. Mike Tomlin, historically pretty good against NFC teams, particularly West NFC West teams at home. 412-928-9370. Let's get into the running game, too, because you got to find a way to run the ball. That's who the Steelers want to be. Play action was super effective in week one, but it's going to cease being so if you can't pound the rock.
I'd like to see us do a better job of protecting Aaron, particularly on play pass. You absorb certain risks executing play pass in an effort to get yards in chunks, but that risk should manifest itself in the form of multiple sacks like it did when you're prepared. And as a staff and as a collective, we got to be a little bit better in that space.
The biggest story in Pittsburgh sports today might not be a Steelers story. We can get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. If it is a Steelers story, I think it's Broderick Jones and his inability to protect Aaron Rodgers' blindside. That was Mike Tomlin in his opening soliloquy. You always have the Mike Tomlin mention index. Tomlin's going to be asked about guys, and he'll answer questions, but it's the stuff that he brings up when he isn't asked that I think is noteworthy. And after the game, he wasn't asked initially about the offensive line play and brought it up. And yesterday, he was not asked specifically about the offensive line play until he was. And before then, he still brought it up. So that's clearly an issue. And I am concerned that because they're at home, they want the defense to play better. I wonder if, in the secondary being good for Seattle, they kind of get in their shell a little bit. Run the ball, insulate Rodgers, more Darnell Washington outside of Broderick Jones, and you maybe play a little bit more conservative. I don't want to see that, but I'm just sort of wondering out loud here if that's something we might see, because if Rodgers drops back to throw 35 times again and he's going to get hit a bunch, like, that ain't the recipe for that guy to play 17 games.
Yeah, like you hope that that's not the recipe for gameplay on Sunday, but I think you're right, man. I think that they might go to the conservative nature and try to establish a run. Like, they knew that they wanted to get out of New Jersey with a win. That was very important. So I think that first game, you do whatever you can to get the win. Now you're back home. You're 1-0. You got that win underneath your belt. And you look at all the issues and the flaws of your team, and you try to fix them. And we know that Mike Tomlin is very conservative at nature on defense and on offense. So I think that he's like, hey, we got to establish a run, like, regardless. And I think, like, Arthur Smith, compared to last week, is going to stick with the run, even though it may not be working.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I do think you're right.
I hope we're wrong about that, but I do think Arthur Smith, and last year you didn't have great quarterback play, you got banged up a wide receiver down the stretch, but I think Arthur Smith last year, he game planned for opponent more than Matt Canada did, more than Randy Feuchner did. You think about the first game against Atlanta, we're not going to throw over the middle of the field because they got great safeties. We don't want to lose the game turning the ball over. You think about the Chargers, they did attack the middle of the field. That was at the very early portion of the season. Against Cincinnati, they threw it a lot, but they'd run the ball in other circumstances. I'm wondering, because of this pass rush, because of this secondary, they just run the ball. And Ben Roethlisberger said on his podcast yesterday, quote, I'm very encouraged by the way Aaron played. My concern is going to be, moving forward, can Aaron take a beating like that every week? Not at that age. If that doesn't improve, we're not going to have a quarterback very long, and it's going to be a rough season. Ben sees it. I think they see it the same way.
Uh-huh.
And so either Broderick improves dramatically from one week to the next, and it really wasn't just him either. I don't think the line played well overall, or you're going to have to find a way to make them honor the run. And in Mike Tomlin's opinion, Arthur Smith's opinion, what a better place to do it than at home, friendly confines, against a team that's probably not going to really stress you all that much offensively. They got some good skill position players on the outside. I watched Cooper Kupp. I don't think he got it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looked like a shell of himself. And because of how they want to play him, he plays a slot and he will not play outside.
Right.
Which has Jackson Smith and Jigba playing outside, and he's not as good of a player outside. So they got all kind of problems, I think, offensively. And I think Tomlin sees that too. And I think he thinks, okay, first to 20 wins this game.
Yeah.
Let's run the football.
Man, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I mean, that the rep distribution between Gainwell and Warren was something, a talking point, because you're like, well, why is that happening? And I think that they really wanted to set Gainwell up in the passing game because of what he did during training camp and what he's done throughout his career. But I think this is a game where you'll see Jaylen Warren get the most carries.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get, like, they're going to try to pound the rock. They are. They're going to try to establish the run until something pops. And if it doesn't pop, then they're like, oh, okay, so be it. We still got to figure out how to run the football.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Crazy.
11-6 final?
It's going to be a low-scoring game.
Once again, I think it's, I don't think it's the lowest over-under total on the board in the NFL. I think it's third. Third lowest. After the Steelers just played a 34-32 game.
Wasn't last week the lowest?
Last week it was the lowest. And it obviously didn't play out that way. It almost hit the over in the first half.
I think it was the highest over-under, right? Maybe in the NFL?
Next to Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
And Buffalo.
Yep.
The second highest scoring game in the NFL. I want to apologize for the Wink Martindale flub.
Should I hit you with the sounder for
that? Yeah, you don't have to hit me with the sounder, but it can count as a flub. I don't want to hear it. It'll scare the... I kind of got a poo, so I don't want to hear that.
Okay.
You played anyway.
Mother bleeper.
Yep.
Texter, that was the best breakdown I'll hear all week on this matchup. You're right about that, Texter. Thank you. We just nailed that. Nailed it. Make up for the Wink Martindale thing. I'll tell you what happened. The Chargers, the Ravens, Michigan, and Seattle, they all got this incestual kind of relationship going on. Because you had Jim Harbaugh over at Michigan, and he had taken guys from John Harbaugh with the Ravens, and then Jim goes to the Chargers, but then you've got the former defensive coordinator of the Ravens, he goes to Seattle, and they got a whole bunch of different coaches from all those different staffs all together. And so Wink Don Martindale is at Michigan, and for that, guys, I sincerely apologize. I'm so, so sorry.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, it's ball season. We're going to spend 99.9999999999% of the show every day on the Steelers. I mean, you got Rodgers throwing four touchdowns, for goodness sakes. But the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports right now, I think, is a hockey one.
Yep.
Pierre LeBrun, who is like Canadian Adam Schefter for the NHL, he talked to Sidney Crosby and to Sidney Crosby's agent, Pat Brisson. And Pat Brisson, man, he's got me all scared that Sidney Crosby might not be playing out his entire career in Pittsburgh. Here's what Pat Brisson had to say about the idea that Crosby could play elsewhere at some point. Quote, "It's always been a possibility." What? You know, it's been 3 years Pittsburgh hasn't made the playoffs. It all depends on how Sid is going to be and how the team is going to do. I believe Sid should be playing playoff hockey every year. Now, Rob Rossi, who covers the Penguins for The Athletic and has always held steadfast to the idea that Crosby's never going to leave, he tweeted this out yesterday. "Sidney Crosby always has spoken for himself. He has repeatedly publicly said he wants to play only for the Penguins until he says otherwise, and he's never hinted he's eyeing another situation. I'd recommend believing him. He's earned that trust, don't you think?" Of course, Sidney Crosby has earned the trust, and Rossi talked to him last year, and Crosby said pretty much more or less he wants to remain here for his entire career. That being said, Pat Brisson was interviewed for the Penguins general manager job before because of how close he is with his Crosby and longtime friend, Sidney Crosby. I said that with bad English, but you get what I'm saying here. Crosby could tell Brisson to cut this crap out.
Yep.
Hasn't.
Right.
Crosby's got, what, 2 years left on this deal? This is the worst I've ever felt about it. And I'm not saying it's a fait accompli. Crosby's going to want to play his career elsewhere, but just follow me for a second. We talk about Crosby, and we put him up on this pedestal as though he is the biggest competitor, really, that we've ever seen around here. Like, Sidney Crosby is wired like Tom Brady. He doesn't care about anything else other than hockey, and he doesn't care about anything else other than winning. he ain't going to win here this year, and I don't know that it's all that likely he wins here in the final year of his deal. And I've seen people say, why should he want to chase another cup? He's won three. Oh, I don't know, because you can always win more. So I think this is a massive story, and it might be more likely than not he finishes here, but I think the door's ajar, Doran.
Pat Brisson wouldn't have said what he said if Sidney Crosby didn't sign off on it. There's no way.
I'm with you.
There's no way. And then there was another quote, and I believe it was, I mean, you never know what to read on Twitter, but I saw it multiple times from multiple outlets that are credible, of Crosby talking about the being asked about the Montreal Canadiens and him smiling and saying there things could be worse if a team like that would want you. He could easily have just said in that quote, and I didn't read the whole entire thing, but he could easily just said, like, yeah, I'm a Pittsburgh Penguin. Like, that's all I think about. Like, that's how he usually would operate. But that quote really stuck out to me alongside of what Pat Brisson had said. Like, they've definitely had conversations recently.
And Crosby waxed poetic about how passionate the fan base is at Montreal and how he grew up in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, and how much he loved the fact that they're talking about line combinations in June. Now, Montreal hasn't exactly bathed itself in glory these last few years, so like going there wouldn't... You want to go to a contender? Now, anywhere Crosby goes makes them significantly better, obviously. Montreal's got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Brisson went on, and he said the comparison is Tom Brady. We want Sidney Crosby hopefully to be in the playoffs every year. We want him to hopefully win another cup or two. So each year the team that he's playing for fails to make the playoffs, it creates a lot of speculation. In reality, he's not getting any younger. There's a fire over here, gentlemen, and Pat Brisson has poured gasoline all over the fire. Whether or not Crosby actually wants to leave at any point, the agent, Pat Brisson, could easily put that fire out, and instead he's pouring gasoline all over it.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm all about the logo. I'm all about the Penguins winning again, because there's nothing that I think is more fun than doing a radio show when the team is in the postseason and you have a game and you preview the game and then you react to the game and then the next day you preview the game and you do that for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. It's the best. Moving Sidney Crosby could get you closer to success if you got a significant package in return. But he might be the one guy that I put above a franchise.
Yeah.
And I want to see him play his entire career here.
Absolutely. But I just find it real peculiar that this comes out weeks after, you know, the Hoffman group or whatever, the third ownership that Sidney Crosby would be playing for.
I do.
Very interesting at this point.
So to that point, I wonder if Crosby's unsatisfied knowing that Lemieux and Burkle.
Yes.
And I wonder if the Hoffman group looks at this and thinks, okay, if Sid's not going to be here long term, do we really want to get into this thing right now? I'm not sure it changes it. I'm not sure it doesn't change it. But I wonder if this is Sidney Crosby and Pat Brisson's way of being like, hey, don't sell it to these guys, sell it to my guys.
Yes. I bet you that has something to do with it. Knowing that Mary Lemieux is back on the table and wanting to recoup this team and thinking that Fenway Sports Group is going to go in a different direction, he's like, well, then I'm going to go in a different direction. Like, let's see who has the most control here.
Yeah.
Like, I could see
could
that.
Could be a power
right?
play.
Yeah.
Ah, pun intended. Also,
like, would you want to play for the Hoffman Group? I mean, another ownership. You obviously didn't want to play for Fenway. They were here a couple years. Like, they didn't know anything about hockey. Now you want to go to another, have ownership that you have to create a relationship with whenever you're 38, 39 years old and you're an all-timer? Like, why would you want to do that? And you're not going to win?
And Gensel's gone. Malkin's going to be gone after this year. Mike Sullivan, who Crosby was very fond of, he's gone. And the ownership group's different. This isn't the Penguins he grew up with.
No. It's different.
That's a fact. And so Sid has always said, yeah, I want to stay and play in Pittsburgh my entire career, just like Stevie Y did, his idol growing up with the Detroit Red Wings. But this isn't the Penguins as Crosby has known and loved them. So I'm taking this as a legitimate threat pretty much from Pat Brisson. I also think Rossi's right. Like, training camp's going to start up in the not too distant future here. Then the season's going to get rolling in early October. There will be an opportunity to ask Sidney Crosby about this. And I'm sure that will be the first question he is asked. His answer is going to go a long way because Sidney ain't a liar. If Sidney comes out and says, ah, oh, that's just Pat being Pat, I want to be here for the remainder of my career, okay, fine. But if Sid does the hockey speak thing, I'm going to be big worried. Your thoughts, 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Would you cry if Sidney Crosby left? That's the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. I actually think I would cry. No sports figure has brought me more joy in my life, and I think a lot of people out there listening feel the same way, than Sidney Crosby. I have dreams about me befriending Sidney Crosby. I love that man.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to see him go.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
And I would never root for another team more than I root for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but if he did go someplace else, unless it was like New York or Boston, he would never go to Philadelphia, I'd be rooting for him. But I do not want to see him go. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Pat Brisson, Sidney Crosby's agent, asked on whether or not Crosby finishes his career in Pittsburgh and said, it's always been a possibility, you know. It's been 3 years. Pittsburgh hasn't made the playoffs. It all depends on how Sid's going to be, how the team is going to do. I believe Sid should be playing playoff hockey every year, end quote. He certainly did not say no to the question on whether or not Sid could go elsewhere. So that's got the people talking, like Dave in North Huntington, who wants to chime in. And we'll get to the Steelers coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Hello, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. So this is what I'm hoping is going on. I truly don't believe that he'll leave, but I think he's sending a clear message that he's tired of the BS and everything that's been going on with this organization these last few years. It started with Hextall as GM. He vies with Charrington as one of the worst all-time GMs in Pittsburgh sports history. But I truly think Sid does want to stay here his whole career. But, I mean, you can't blame him. You know, he's dedicated, like you said, like Brady is. He wants to win. He wants to win here. I think he loves the city and the fans. He's shown that. But at the same time, he needs them to do something to win. And these GMs have just let him down and the fan base and city down. So
I think Dubas did it. And thank you for the call, Dave. I think Dubas did a terrible job his first offseason whenever he was trying to win. Erik Karlsson, hey, it made sense at the time.
Right.
It hasn't worked out. But some of the other moves like Graves and Jari obviously have not worked out. So for him to extend the window, he screwed it up. And Hextall did a horrendous job in his tenure here. There's no debating that. I actually believe in the direction that they have right now under Dubas, but it's not one that gets you back to winning this year.
Mm-mm.
And it's probably not one that gets you back to winning the following year.
No, it's going to take a while.
And I think they're pretty much entrenched in that right now, to the point where even if Crosby's putting the pressure on to, hey, Kyle, let's get real competitive quickly here, I don't know that they can do anything that would turn this thing on a dime. And they hired a developmental coach. They didn't hire a coach that's going to walk in here day one and, oh, he's going to compete. How could we know that? He's never coached in the NHL as a head coach before. So Crosby might be trying to put the pressure on, and Brisson might be trying to put the pressure on. I'm not sure to what end. Great.
Right. Don't blame him. At all.
No, and you know what? That's probably the part of the call that we should focus on. I don't blame him either.
No.
He wants to win.
Yeah.
That's not a sin. I was thinking about rhyming more, and I couldn't think of one. My brain is mush this morning. To Chicago to talk to our guy, Rob. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Yeah.
You know, I got to admit, my feelings for Crosby, it's somewhere, you know, sympathy for that guy is in between you know what and syphilis. I have none, okay, because he's created this mess himself.
What?
Okay, because, yeah, look, Crowley, I love all the historic aspect. I'd like to see Crosby retire a Penguin, but every time someone tries to make a move, Crosby gets in the way. You know, Jim Rutherford tried to move Malkin and tried to rearrange things, and Malkin hasn't aged well. You know, Crosby and them, they all had a stroke. Look, they all practically shut the organization down for a week when Gensel got traded. Every time someone tries to move one of the, you know, the get-along gang, Crosby has a stroke. And is
probably not the right verbiage considering what Chris Letang has gone through. Thank you for the call, Rob. Sidney Crosby is a competitor. He wants to win. And when, if that's what happened, Malkin and Letang were still playing at a high level. I don't blame Sid for that either. You want to win, you want to win with that core. I don't blame him. You've earned the right to be able to make some decisions in an organization, too.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.